Welcome to the June 18th meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors. Ms. Vega, could we have a roll call, please?
Director Sasanian.
Here.
Director Kelly.
Present.
Director Sennett.
Here.
Vice President Ohilski.
Present.
President Sparks.
Here. First of all, we'd like for Mr. Seitz a report out of closed session, please.
Yes, the board went into closed session this afternoon, early evening, in regards to pending litigation and in regards to a conference with their labor negotiator. We discussed a total of three cases. The board heard a report from legal counsel but took no reportable action. Likewise, they heard a report from our labor negotiator in regards to certain negotiations, and there is something to report in that regard. At the last agenda, there was a report in regards to the offer of reaching an agreement with George Milanez in regards to his employment with the district. Mr. Milanez has signed the document, what commonly known as a buyout, and that agreement now is in place, and all time periods for its effectuation have run. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. I think just a small clarification.
District accountant for the hard work that she put into this, and also the cooperation and guidance given to us by the accounting firm of Brown and Armstrong. I'd like to introduce Eric this evening, who is going to make his presentation as to the budget for the audit for fiscal year 2007-2008.
You want to use the podium, I guess, or do you want to sit here? You could.
Okay.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for providing us this opportunity to present here. We have completed the district's audit for 2008, and we have issued the following reports as a result of our audit. First, we issued our independent auditor's report on basic financial statements. And we also issued a report on the district's internal control over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters. The independent auditor's report was granted with a qualified opinion just only due to the valuation issue for the construction in progress relating to the West Water Treatment Plant project. Other than that, the report is clean. The report on internal controls was also granted with qualified opinion due to current year significant deficiencies and material weaknesses identified in the district's internal controls. I would like to briefly go through our current year findings. We had overall seven findings. Some of those findings were carried over from prior years. First, there are material account receivable balances that are over 120 days outstanding. So we recommend the district to keep track of the aging of accounts receivable and send the accounts that pass due to the collection agencies and. If you know it's not collectible, written them off. And also, we found out a cash disbursement which should have been accrued as of year end was not accrued. That's the second finding. Basically, this is just closing issue. We understand the district was short staffed, so hopefully this coming year this problems will go away. Also, we found out that two capital assets purchased were not capitalized and instead was recorded as repair and maintenance. We believe this is also an issue of due to short of staff and was overlooked for those two items. And also for the payroll function, there is lack of deficit cash balances for county's trash account, cash account with the treasury. So we would like the district to perform some analysis and correct the issue from this point on. Last, I would like to discuss with you the required audit communications. This is just routine language. Hopefully, don't make you guys bored. Our representative responsibility is to plan the audit to obtain reasonable but not absolute assurance that the district's financials are free out of material misstatements and fairly presented in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. And there were no sensitive estimates affecting the district's financials except the estimates relating to the bankruptcy issue. And we proposed a few significant adjusting journal entries during our audit. And we did not have any disagreement with management during audit. We did not consult with other accountants during our audit. And none of our responses to the district's management became a condition to our retention. And we encountered no difficulties, even though the audit is challenging this year, since this is the first year of our audit, in dealing with management in performing our audit. This concludes my presentation. I'm now open for any questions you may have.
Anyone want to go first from the board? Oh. Let me ask, I don't have a lot of questions. Again, on the one finding of the accounting staff for a district such as ours that is, roughly a $4 to $6 million budget for the year is, and the recommend, we've increased the staff to 3/4. Is this in line with comparable, to your knowledge, is this in line with comparable districts of that operate with that amount of revenues and expenses?
For the
The level of senior accounting at a 3/4 position?
I believe that is comparable to other districts. However, I feel, due to the budget issue, I wouldn't recommend you increase your staff for now. However, if it's possible, I think you probably need one or two additional staff in the accounting area.
Any other questions from directors? Okay. Any questions from staff?
No, we've obviously talked this over quite a bit.
The other item I want to talk about is in the one finding on the inter-fund balances and that you're unable to reconcile specific.
Just discuss this one with the district's accountants. The way we see it, due to the time lapse from prior years, we feel the best approach is to start from current point. Since we already finished the audit for last year and this year, we should just take the current outstanding balance as a clean startup point and move forward from here. And also due to district's short of staff force for now, I think there is no point to try to go back to reconcile everything. So hopefully within this coming audit, we can clean them up.
I guess I want to understand correctly what you're saying. You're saying to move forward. The recommendation in here is to reconcile, but you're also saying to move forward. So if we start with a clean based on this year, then why would we reconcile? Why would we even bother reconciling?
No, because certain interfund issues was historic issues, and there are multiple year transactions involved in it. And since we did the audit, at least we know the interfund balance was in balance now. So basically, we can do a quick estimate based on, say, maybe not go back that far, go back to the last year or two, and then do a quick estimate, say, how much each fund was outstanding at this point, and we start from there. It's a much easier or efficient approach, in my opinion.
So is it fair to say is you start now, you go back a year, hope you reconcile, then if you don't, then you go back another year, and then if you don't, you...
Right. If you try to go back like 4 or 5 years, you may not have the record available, and also the amount of transactions get involved will occupy too many of your staff hours. So that will make this coming year audit. So we try to catch up with this coming year's audit too in September. So we want to focus on that instead of we try to go back that far to solve the historic issues. That's our opinion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think I had one more question. And yeah, and your assumption again from the starting point was the prior year audit for this audit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. I think we're going to open it up in public comment here. So if you, sure. you would appreciate it. You're going to get a lot of questions, I'm sure. So,
sure.
And Mr. Cooney, do we want to have Mr. Zinn sit over there yeah. here so the public can come up to here and then yep. he can.
Sure.
Do we have it all, Mr. Cooney, the audit, that, just in case that we can show on the screen, just in case there's something to refer to?
I mean, it's a multi-page.
Okay.
No, it's not. We don't have it. We don't have an electronic format. No.
All right. With that, we'll go ahead and open it up to public comment. And if you could please go to the podium and form a line, please.
Richard Margetson, I think I know where you were going, Joe, but...
Okay, yeah, if that's all your comments, we'll answer the questions.
That's my only comment, if that's the direction and we're going to try to reconcile this number during this upcoming audit cycle. If not, then I guess my question is, when are we going to put the effort into reconciling these numbers? So that's my question.
Mr. Cooney, can you address that? What management's
approach? We discussed that at the Finance Committee, and we are going to be looking at getting an intern to help the district's auditor to reconcile those numbers. So the answer to Mr. Margetson's question is yes, we will be reconciling the numbers.
And number two, I heard from our auditor here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the approach is to start with this balance, and we start now, we go back 1 year. If we still have a problem reconciling, we go back another year. So there's a potential there that we can go back to the beginning of the district until we reconcile it. Is that correct as well? Or is there some point at which you would stop trying to reconcile it? Can we have it quiet out? I'm trying to listen to Mr.
Sorry about that. Yes, well, we recommend that we probably at the most go back 2 years because those 2 years we have good audit trail and probably data to perform the reconciliation. However, if we go back too far away and not only will occupy too many of the staff's resources, the district's resources. Also, I'm afraid there may not be enough information available for this reconciliation. So basically, we just waste lots of energy that way. I hope, cross our fingers, we can do it with just go back 2 years.
Thank you. And I certainly believe that you could go back. That puts us to June 30th, 2005. And then whatever, at that point, you could make another recommendation. It's not limiting, but... That's the approach. Is there any other public comment on this? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Are there any
The action before your board tonight is to receive and file the audit.
Yeah, again, I want to state a couple of things, particularly for me personally, because since I've been on the board, when we had the audit 2 years ago, during that audit, I asked some questions from their then interim general manager about when I was hoping to get some information reconciled regarding assessment revenue, and I was told that, well, that would be in the next fiscal year because of when it occurred. The next audit last year's, I voted against receiving it because, again, I felt there was some inconsistent information in terms of, and I don't have the confidence in the fund balances. And so I still, at this date, with another year based on that prior year, I still don't, I don't have the confidence in the fund. It's very difficult work, and she's addressed a lot of questions from staff, from the auditor, from board members, and Mr. Cooney and the audit firm. I'm very pleased with you know, bringing you on board to do this audit. Thank you for coming and making the trip over. All right. With that, we're going to go to public hearing. Item A, the assessment district formation for the Cabrillo Estates street lighting. And we're going to turn it over to staff again.
Before you get started, Joel, just a process question, if I may.
I'm not recognizing you, Mr. Golden. So there's no questions from the public at this time. There's no questions from the public at this time. Thank you.
May the record show, I want to ask a question concerning the notice of this meeting. We could have been finished with it by now, Joel. The notice of the meeting says...
Mr. Golden, hang on a second. Mr. Seitz?
There is no general public comment.
This is not general public comment, Council.
Well, there is no general public comment, and there is no item pending until it's announced by the board president and staff report is given.
And the next item is going to be item A, the assessment district formation for the Cabrillo Estates street lighting district. And Mr. Cooney, can you go ahead and proceed?
The district has prepared an assessment engineer's report, has mailed ballots to the residents of the Cabrillo Estates lighting district, and this is the time and place to count those ballots. The district secretary will commence the process at this particular moment. We got to reshift some of the people up here, get the staff up here to get this done, and we will be counting the ballots at this time.
Public comment.
Yeah, going by the agenda, we received the presentation from the assessment engineer and staff, so we don't have our assessment engineer tonight. So that's the extent of your presentation?
That's the extent. Yes, we are at the process. Okay. We are at the point at which we will be counting the ballots concerning the pardon?
No, I think first off, the second item is we're going to open a public hearing because it's a protest hearing, right, Mr. Seitz? So we'll allow the public to comment, and then a final call for the ballots. So with that, we'll open it up to public comment on the proposed accession information. Seeing that there's no public comment, we'll close public comment on the proposed assessment information of the assessment district and now make the final call for assessment ballots. Are there any additional assessment ballots that which are to be submitted tonight? Thank you, and thank you for coming and bring. Okay, we're going to reconvene the meeting, and so I'm going to announce the results of the assessment ballot tabulation. First of all, I want to thank staff for coming tonight and helping out with the ballot count. It's appreciated. The results are yes in, for the assessment, 46, no, 75, and 8 non-count votes. So the protest is successful and the assessment is defeated. Okay, so at this point, we're going to have board discussion and then see if we want to provide direction to staff regarding continuing the annual levy charges that are equal or less than the current charges for the Cabrillo Estates Lighting District. And I guess just Mr. Seitz, just as a point, we had public hearing of the protests as the board deliberates what to do or give direction to staff. Do we need or should we have additional public comment, or can we just deliberate and give direction to staff?
You can deliberate and give direction to staff, but I believe that what's on the agenda now is just simply to place this on a future agenda, not make any decision regarding future action tonight, but rather have that placed on the next agenda.
Okay. I was reading ahead to the staff report, and I didn't go back to the agenda. I read ahead to the staff report, didn't say that. Okay, so I guess at this point, for the board, do we want to, by motion, place the Cabrillo Estates street lighting on future agenda and to consider the alternatives?
Can I ask a question of Mr. Seitz? Obviously, we need a motion to put that resolution on there, but aren't we still allowed to give some direction to staff as to what we'd like to see back? Because I have some information I would like to get back.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Seitz, again, it's before the board, but should we place public comment again, or can the board just give direction now?
You had public comment at the beginning of the item on the public hearing, and I don't believe it's necessary to reopen it to the public.
Thank you. Okay. Vice President Ohilski.
Yeah, I'd like to move that we place the Cabrillo Estates lighting on a future agenda. And I don't know whether the July agenda or the August agenda is more appropriate. I think I'd leave that to the general manager to determine the date. But I would like to have some information back when we consider that. I would like to know personally, and I think it's information the board needs to have to make a decision, is for the current assessment, how many lights could be operated with the amount of income that we or revenue that the board, that the district presently gets. And I'd also like some prioritization of the lights by the fire department for safety purposes. So when we discuss it, we can have that information available.
Right. I'll second that.
Okay. There will be return the next meeting because there is not the continuation of.
Okay, so we have a. So can we have a repeat of the motion, either Vice President Ohilski?
I understand where you're going, and we've already contacted PG&E to find out what we can do as far as not only the number of lights but the wattage and things such as that, and we're working with them to come back with an alternate.
Right. My motion is, as stated in the staff report, I'm just asking that we get information back relative to that, and I'd also like to prioritization from the fire department as far as what lights are more important for safety purposes or what their position is on the lights. So, okay. But the motion is as it's stated in the staff report.
Okay, motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes. Now we're going to a public hearing on item B, to set the fiscal year 09-10 special fire tax rate pursuant to measure A05 and LCSD Ordinance 2005-1 and approve the submission of the tax roll to the county for collection. And so I'll turn it over to the staff at this point.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You waiting for me? Oh, hello.
We're doing item B now, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before I take public comment, Mr. Cooney, on the public hearing for the fire tax, do you have any staff report to the public and the board?
This has been reviewed on two occasions by the Emergency Services Committee and is being recommended to you as presented in the agenda packet.
Okay, with that, are there any board questions for staff?
Is there anything else you think we ought to? I mean, as I said, it's been pretty thoroughly vetted in the Emergency Services Committee meetings.
Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and open this to public comment.
Richard Margetson. I thought maybe Marshall would make a comment about. I don't want to waste my time. So if he has a question, I have other things to say.
Well, can you hold his time? In the resolution, it states the examples as 7430.
This is the one that was on the back table.
Yeah, this went out on Friday, and we caught the correction, which is on the and I thought that you folks would.
Directors have new copies.
On your desk.
So do they have the copy I have that says 7116? 7116 is wrong.
I don't know.
1432 times 5 is not 7116.
This is first. The director asking questions of you.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify that. So okay.
Okay. Can I now continue back? Okay. Second comment is, and this was brought up in the committee a number of times. The staff report says that's attached to Phil's report. States attached is a staff report and related documents from Cal Fire, Slo County Fire, related to their recommendation for setting the special fire tax for fiscal year 09-10. I don't believe it was their recommendation to raise the special fire tax. I believe it was the Emergency Services Committee's recommendation to raise it. And I've brought this point up a number of times. If you take this now reduced special fire tax because there was a mistake on the CPI calculation that originally came forward at the committee level. The reason for taking the increase can't be tied to the Cal Fire contract. The Cal Fire contract this year went down $14,008. And I think it's inaccurate to put it out there that they made the recommendation for the increase for some need they had. I think it came from the committee and actual board members that attended that committee meeting. I think if you're going to take this special fire tax increase as an insurance policy against, you know, what the state may do or for some other reason, that's fine. But for the community listening, it's not being taken because the Cal Fire contract went up, because it has not gone up. In the 5 years, this is the fifth year of them being on full for a full year. In total, their contract has gone up $3,500 over a five-year span. That's incredible. Other than that, I hope Marsha. Oh, the ordinance. Are you going to bring up about the ordinance possibility change? Okay, I'll leave that for you.
Thank you for your comment. Any additional speakers, please?
Alon Perlman, specifically says that the tax will be increased by CPI every year. Now, if that is true, then first of all, it's really not a new tax. It is an adjustment to an agreed-on tax, and the voters, in their wisdom that passed it, did agree that there should be increases. Now, as it happens, there had not been increases in previous 3 years. And my question is, and this was not clear to me as I was in that meeting, and there was an individual who expressed a concern about a general concern of not wanting new taxes. However, a district that has relatively high overhead, and even though the CPI is now lower due to recession, energy costs are increasing and will very likely be passed on. Essentially, what the clarification I'd like to get is, since on three occasions that the tax could have been increased, it didn't take place, is the level of increase taking into account, it's impossible, of course, to back rate the years that have passed, but at this very point, is the level of tax proposed reflecting an adjustment for the three missing years? Because, and I think that's a clear question, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Cooney? Is there any, do you have any response for that comment?
Yeah, I was going to save my comments till the end, but okay. I do have a comment regarding what Alon raised, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Leon Golden, Los Osos. Well, last speaker couldn't be... I don't know where to begin as far as everything he said that was wrong. First of all, my credentials are I was co-chair of the committee that worked to successfully to have this fire or this raise in the fire tax passed. It passed by about 78%, although the cruncher of numbers will probably correct me on that, but he's usually right about that, so listen to him when he talks about numbers. And there's no requirement that you raise the tax. As a matter of fact, there is every reason not to, because the there's nothing that is requires this thing to be raised at this time. The level of services remains the same, and that's supposed to be one of the things that is to be considered. And to say that just because we haven't raised the taxes over a number of years, we should therefore go ahead and raise taxes on this is just not correct. That's not, you have the power to do it when you need to. And it's clear that you don't need to. And I'll yield my time.
On the tax rolls. Many governmental agencies within the state set up their CPI determinations in February of the year that they are going to be using the CPI as part of their either their increase or decrease of the wages, accounts on other activities that they base their CPI on. The county has requested, as Mr. Cooney says, that all of the information has to be in by X amount of time. Well, then they, meaning the auditors, must have a X amount of time in order to get it in so that there is no question as to what it is. At this time for this year, an increase for any of the cost of a tax for the fire department should be at zero. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Any additional speakers? Yeah, And if there are any additional speakers after Ms. Thacker, could you please line up behind her, and then we'll close public comment.
Good evening. I am Julie Thacker. I am an alternate on the Emergency Services Committee. And when a vote was taken, I voted no to taking the CPI. It was discussed again at this last meeting, and there it was not reconsidered by the three members of the committee that passed that recommendation on to you. And at this point, I would say that the reason I voted no is that it did not tie to the CAL FIRE service agreement. There is no new benefit from CAL FIRE, no need. Their agreement is less expensive than last year. But I think the primary reason that the recommendation before you to increase this little bit through the CPI is before you, it's because the uncertainty of the future from the state. And that, you know, accounts will be raided and things will be happening, and if there's not much there, they'll take it all or something like that. So that's kind of why I think those three who voted to pass this recommendation forward did. And now it's in your lap, and good luck.
Thank you for your comments. With that, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Mr. Perlman, you've had
offered some time.
I'm not allowing delegation of time. Thank you. Mr. Cooney?
I had some extensive discussions today with CSDA, California Special Districts Association, concerning the current status of the budget. There are two proposals before the budget committee right now. One is that all taxes, all property taxes, would be reduced by 8%. And I asked specifically if that included fire, and the answer was yes. There's another proposal that nothing would be touched. And it all depends, and the issue becomes is that one side of the House has determined that the budget will be balanced by using additional taxes on things like cigarette assessment by the CPI. But given the uncertainty of the situation, it's sort of probably in 1912 there was a lot of discussion about how many lifeboats you should put on the Titanic. You know, and I'm going to counsel you on the side of being conservative. And since we don't know what's going to happen, we have a very strict deadline to turn this into the county, that if we don't take this one opportunity, we're going to have to wait till next year to try to make this up. But if we do lose 8% of our property taxes to the state, we may have a problem in funding the fire department budget.
Director Kelly?
I just have a question, clarification. I keep hearing back from the Emergency Services Committee this discussion about the truck. There's a fire truck that we're under contract obligated at some point to purchase. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, we know that we have some funds in there. We also know that we have this obligation. This special tax is one of the only ways we're going to be able to meet that obligation, or do we continue to defer it? If we want to purchase the truck and start planning for it, isn't this one of the mechanisms that we would need to use to do that? Because that's what the fire tax was for furnishing, operating, and maintaining fire department equipment.
I agree with your premise. The other issue is that any money that's used or generated from this special assessment is not in any way at all taxed or spread to the other departments. The overhead is not taken from this,
right,
from this
it
money.
It stays with the fire department. It's
correct.
One of the only ways that we can ensure that the fire department gets money that stays with the fire department, period, which to me seems that it would be prudent and good planning to institute the CPI. I just wanted to make sure that I'd heard correctly.
Vice President Lihelski.
Yeah, if I could comment, or pardon me, respond to a couple of comments and then just make some clarifications. I think that the point that Director Kelly raised is a really, really important point. Up until this time, the money that's in the fire budget, property tax revenues and fire tax revenues have been commingled. We are now separating out the fire tax monies from the property tax revenues and not charging overhead on the fire tax revenues, but we're using that solely for the purposes in the fire tax, which was for provision of fire protection equipment, et cetera. So I think that's an important thing that we're doing now, and we've established that policy, at least in the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, and that's also carried through in the budget that you'll be considering today, that the fire tax money is held separate and not subject to district expenses. It's solely to the fire department expenses. So I think that's an important factor. And I would agree with the comments that were made that the fire agreement, you know, with Cal Fire is working really, really to our benefit. And I guess Mr. Golden's comments, the CPI is allowed by the fire tax. It's not mandatory by the fire tax, okay? So it's up to the board in its discretion to decide whether to implement the CPI. It hasn't been done in the past. Well, it was done once, and then it hasn't been done. The issue that the Emergency Services Committee looked at was to this year, you know, and I think there was two reasons. I think Ms. Tacker talked about one of them, which was the uncertainty of the tax revenues. But I think there also was a recognition by the Emergency Services Committee that there's been a lot of deferred maintenance that hasn't occurred in the fire department. You know, the replacement of the concrete pad is the one item that's been deferred and deferred and deferred. And that's something that needs to be done. And we need these revenues to be able to do those kind of things. So I think the two issues or the two reasons that the committee recommended that we adopt it was the uncertainty of the income, and then secondly, to start to address the deferred maintenance issues, to not put those on and on and on into the past. The last comment has to do with the ordinance itself. And I think both Mr. Margetson and Ms. Taylor talked about that. There is a problem in this ordinance that needs to be addressed. It's not something we need to do today, but I think the deadline for us taking the CPI is August in the ordinance, and the county needs to know in July, so that doesn't help us at all. So we need to look at a modification of the date that we're going to consider the CPI increase in the ordinance. And then secondly, as was raised, the issue of the CPI date, which is June 30th, which again doesn't give us enough time. We need to go and look at setting that probably at the end of March, so we have time to do the proper calculations, have the proper information for implementing this in the future, so we have the information available. So I think those are two things that we need to look at in the ordinance. But, you know, speaking as the chair of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, I think that, you know, they did look at this the first time, voted 3-2. They had an opportunity to reconsider it on Tuesday. They decided not to. So I think that their recommendation is to take this. And I really think based on the possibility now, which I heard for the first time tonight, that the state could take the full 8% from the fire department, it's even more important than we get this. The cost to the average residential or the five benefit unit is, and I don't know because now we have a different set of numbers floating around here, but it's approximately 70 cents per year. And I think to maintain the level of services we have, I really think the board needs to go ahead and take the recommendation to increase the CPI. So I think I answered all the questions that were raised that I at least can, and I addressed the issue of how we need to proceed forward in the future. So I would urge the board to go ahead and adopt this.
Mr. Cooney, question for you. On the amount, it was shown in the revised staff report of 7116. Is that the correct amount?
Based on
the public comment, it sounded like it should be $71.60. And while you're calculating that, I just, you know, this increase, the lighting in Cabrillo, we also have in the Fund 600, we have a transfer in. We have no revenue source, but we're transferring in for a debt replenishment payment plan, which has no revenue source. So that's $25,000. So there's other, I mean, the equation isn't simply, it's not a simple equation. It's tied in as well, I believe, with policy decisions. It comes down to policy decisions of the board. So any other board questions or comments for staff?
I thought I had things pretty clear before you.
Well, I guess here's my point. We make an allocation to fire, and we set that amount from property tax. We could choose to make that independent of the CPI, we could choose to make that a larger amount, and there'd be less for their overall reserves. We could choose not to do the debt replenishment that's coming from administrative and other funds for the assessment reserve. That'd be $25,000. As an example, we could choose to repay $1, which would free up $25,000. We could change the allocation and not increase the CPI. I mean, maybe that's a policy decision. So I hope maybe that clarifies.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that. I guess I just want to make sure that people understand, after what Director Kelly said, that we do have a policy in place to replace engines. We have sinking funds. We have those things planned and funded. It's not like the CPI is going to be some magic wand that gets us a fire truck. And I want to make very clear that it's not CAL FIRE that's requesting it, that, according to what their bills are to us, we shouldn't be maybe asking for an increase. It's just that with the uncertainty in the state budget, everything's a little frightening right now. And I see no way that we're not going to get whacked for property taxes with the news that's coming out of Sacramento.
If I could just add a little bit to what Vice President Hilsky said, the fire department has presented to the Emergency Services Committee a extensive, three-, four-page list of capital items that need to be addressed as far as our facility goes, our station, and we're addressing one of them in this year's budget. Somewhere, as long as we continue to defer that maintenance, the worst shape we're going to be in when we start to really address some of these issues.
I think that's a good point. We want to, and that came up at the meeting on Tuesday, if we keep deferring things back, things that might be in good operating condition today, but we can't keep deferring these things back. And I think that Chuck and Steve can speak firsthand to the impacts of the state's budgetary crisis. So, anyways, I'd like to move the staff recommendation that we adopt the CPI.
I'll second.
This is a resolution.
Yeah, this is a resolution.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
President Sparks.
No. Do you want to give additional direction for staff on the ordinance to come back, or
this is it?
They'll be correct. It's 7160.
The timing. The timing of the annual CPI calculation. We need to move that to the spring.
Yeah. Right. I think that we discussed that at the meeting, and I think that staff has a clear understanding of what we need to do.
This dollar amount is consistent with what has been collected in the past. It has not been changed.
Any questions from the board? Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and take public comment. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Okay, all start off. If there's no other questions for staff.
Yeah. President Sparks, these are separate resolutions, so there'll need to be a vote on each one.
Right. I was going to make a motion that we, the Los Osos Community Service District, established 2009-2010 special tax for drainage services in the old county service area number 9-A, and direct staff to forward the special taxes to the county auditor for a collection.
Second.
Ms. Vega?
President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Make a motion that we, Los Osos Community Services District, confirm the annual assessment and direct the collection of annual assessment for the Wastewater Treatment District 1.
Second.
Ms. Vega?
President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
And I'll make a motion that the Los Osos Community Service District confirm the report and direct the collection of the annual service charges for Bay Ridge Estates.
I'll second.
Ms. Vega?
President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
And I'll make a motion for the Los Osos Community Service District to confirm the report and direct the collection of annual service charges for the central septic for the Vista de Oro subdivision.
I'll second.
Ms. Vega?
President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yep.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Vega. And item 4, it will have committee reports. And we'll go ahead with standing advisory committee reports. And I guess I'll go ahead, since I have the only written report in here, as soon as I find it.
I can give mine quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Emergency Service Advisory Committee, I pretty much already discussed what they discussed, so I think we're good to go. I would point out for the public's benefit, though, that the Emergency Service Advisory Committee will not meet in July, so their next meeting will be in August.
Thank you.
President Sparks, there's also a written report by Director Kelly on the...
Right. We'll, we'll get to that. And the Finance Committee met on 8th June, and we discussed the audit as well as the budget reserve policy and investment policy, I think, by Water Advisory Committee.
Speak to Brad Isaac submitted the report. I didn't have to do one. Or Stephen, I didn't have to do one. It did come in on Monday, the summary of our meeting on June 6th. So as we talked about and had agreed upon is that this meeting would have this report with potential next steps. So we can agendize for future discussion as to whether or not we're going to move ahead. And I believe we talked about agendizing that for July. So.
Yeah, this will come back with a Brad. Will Brad be here at July?
We're going to have a this is we're done with Brad now.
Okay.
Until we have a discussion about whether or not we want to take that next step. So until he hears from us, this is the standalone work.
That's
product.
The standalone proposal that we'll discuss.
No, there's no proposal on the table at this time.
Okay, so we'll just discuss whether moving forward to consider a proposal.
Right, so if you just read the last page, wait a minute, where did we come up with the next steps?
Last page.
Oh, yeah, the very back. These were the next steps that we agreed to, and so this is step one, and then we would request a further discussion for July 2nd as to whether or not we would take a next step. So that's what I'm doing is number two on what we agreed on. And so if we're all just familiar with that last page, then on July 2nd, we can make a decision as to whether or not we're going to move forward with the strategic planning. And I don't have, I'll submit my Water Advisory Committee report for the first meeting of next month, but we did form a subcommittee that I want to let the community know about that we'll be reviewing and coming back with recommendations in August, I believe, regarding the rate structure and look at some different scenarios. And the ad hoc committee is being chaired by Dominic Rock, And then we'll be also participating will be, I believe, Chuck Sneed. Is that correct? Richard Margetson, and I believe Margaret and you yourself will be participating. So they were given some directions, some looking for some specific recommendations. So I'll submit our advisory committee report, but there is another subcommittee out there at work right now. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Kelly. And with that, any other director reports for attendance at other agency meetings?
I went with the Planning Commission to Monterey to the water recycling facilities tour last Friday, and that was a very interesting day. They irrigate nearly 12,000 acres in the summer with reclaimed water, use every drop of reclaimed water that they've got. In the winter, they do have to use their ocean outfall because there's not enough demand. They're currently working with golf courses and expansion beyond the agricultural program. But in the summertime, it's a matter of where can we get more recycled water? And again, the big concern is salt in the water, salt buildup in the soil. That's the big issue. They've got a couple of coastal sewage treatment plants that occasionally have problems with infiltration of salt water and cause them problems, but for the most part, they keep it under control. New program coming to blend Salinas River water with the recycled water, and the big fear is that the river water will drag down the quality of the water that they're giving to the farmers. But then it's cleaner when it gets to the farmers than when it's applied to the crops because of the fertilizers and things that still must be added. I was encouraged.
Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and take public comment on the committee reports and consent items A, B, and C, which are the committee reports, the prior meeting minutes, and the authorization for the general manager to get fiscal 2009-10 insurance coverage.
Punch your little magic button, Froggy.
Go ahead, Mr.
I'm referring to the minutes of the FAC meeting, the Financial Advisory Committee meeting. I have a couple of questions about two items that appear here. One says, and they really sort of tie together, but I'll give you both of them and then I'll give you my comments. The Director Sparks asked staff that the final budget be forwarded to all committee members, that comments should be directed to the GM and would be appreciated prior to the next board meeting on June 18th. And that's on page 2 of the minutes. And then on page 3, there's a similar comment which says that Director Sparks asked staff that the final audit be forwarded to all committee members and that comments to the GM should be appreciated prior to the next board meeting on June 18th. Now, my question is this a sort of meeting of the Financial Advisory Committee? They get the information at home, and then they send in comments. Is that permissible? I thought that the Financial Advisory Committee's job was to vet both these, both the audit, at least that's what was done in the past, and have a discussion in the presence of the public at a notice meeting where the Brown Act applies. And I'm concerned about this becoming, if this is how business is going to be conducted, the public isn't going to find out about a lot of things. Not a way to do it. Somebody have any response to that?
Are those is that all your comments, Mr. Golden?
I'm sorry.
Those are all your comments?
I was hoping for an answer.
Yeah, if you have no additional comments, then I'll go ahead and respond and we can
ask staff to respond as well. You're very difficult to understand.
Yeah, I was saying if you have no additional comments, I was waiting to see if you had any additional ones, and then I was going to go ahead and respond at the end.
I don't want to delay the meeting, and I think I've made my comment, but I would like to get an answer to my question.
Okay. The Finance Committee, beginning with this next year's budget, met in April in a public meeting. We met in May at a public meeting, and I appreciate all the committee members. We had conflicts meeting this Monday, so they were able to meet on the 8th and discuss the budget, the draft audit. At the time, the audit, Mr. Cooney explained, didn't have the final.
Until you bring that back as an agenda item. I would like to comment on Director Cecinia's report for the Monterey trip. I wish more of you had gone. I hope you all, at the very least, visit their website. I think the experience was very good for the commission, very good for the public, certainly very good for the farmers. Los Osos farmers were in attendance. Organic growers were in attendance. There is no fear with organic farming. There, we got to interview or have some question and answers with a farmer who has $90 million of annual crops. They are able to turn that water into a bumper crop, so to speak. They make money off their fabulous lettuces, strawberries, spinach, just about anything you can think of. So they are edible crops. They have their leafy green agreements. Everybody, there was a lot of talk both at the plant and out in the field about the spinach scare of a couple years ago and how even CNN looked to these guys first because it was the Salinas Valley, and CNN sent a team and a crew and did an interview and walked away with no story because they were not the source. And they were very proud that there was no story in that the pollution came from another place and the outbreak came from another place. One of the things that I liked listening to the presenters was that they call this a replenishment of their aquifer. I think we all get caught up in semantics that then lead to regulatory constraints. When you have recharge, discharge, dispose, all of these words mean different things to different regulatory agencies. And this is a water pollution control district and not a reclamation project. It's not an injection project. It's a replenishment project, and it's a pollution control district. And I found it all very interesting. And again, at the very least, go to their website and learn more about it. And expect that the Los Osos Wastewater Project will take on a new face at the Planning Commission.
Thank you for your comments. Additional speakers, please.
My name is Gwen Taylor, and I'd like to carry on with something that Mr. Cecinia spoke of, and that being saltwater intrusion. We all seem to think that the ISJ is going to be the solution to this whole mess of saltwater intrusion. Unfortunately, we are, shall we call it, living under a misapprehension. Because, and I'm reading from part of the resolution, which has to do with the saltwater intrusion that is part of the problem that we are going to be addressing. And that is, if all parties agree to participate in the work to be...
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I can't save my comments for the retreat summary that will be discussed next time because I won't be here, so I'll just tell you now, as the only member of the public who stayed through the entire process, I thought it was amazing. I thought you guys did a really great amount of work. I saw you coming together and agreeing on things, even agreeing to disagree. There was a difference in the way you were approaching each other. I really appreciated a lot. I thought you guys did a great job, and I hope you continue this. I think with the district, with the trouble it's in, with all the problems it has, your board working together is the only way we're going to solve things, and I thought the facilitator really helped you agree on what you needed to work on. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Any additional speakers? after Mr. Markison, if you could please line up, and if not, he'll be the last public speaker.
Richard Markison, I just have one question about the Financial Advisory Committee report. Is this considered the minutes from that report, or is this a director report? I just, for clarification in the future, because if this is the minutes for this committee, or this is the whatever, the official recording of it, there's no mention in here of who from the public was in attendance. And I think this is the only committee that doesn't at least acknowledge who was in the room. And I'm just curious what, if this is the official representation or what happened, or is this just your report of what came out of the committee? Because if that's the case, then in the future I'm going to have comments on some of the things that are in here.
These are written reports from the directors. They're not, I don't take minutes. I'm chairing the meeting. And in the case of the, you know, we have the Water Advisory Committee that we get a director's report. In the case of emergency services, we have a staff member that can take minutes. So I think it's a little bit different between committees, but the obligation of the director is to make a director report. And the official, we record the meeting, so the official transcripts are the audio from the meeting. It's a director report. I don't consider it minutes.
I guess I would ask legal counsel then. So the official would be the recording of the meeting, since there are no official minutes?
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah, Mr. Sykes, go ahead and answer.
Okay. If the recordings are kept in the same manner as minutes are kept, in other words, are kept for, I forget the exact amount of statutory time, then those can serve as some minutes, yes.
You have a comment, Vice President?
No, I was just going to point out that the reason Emergency Services Advisory Committee has detailed minutes is because we do have staff. I was just going to confirm that the other committees just have directors' reports. So, and
yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sesania?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Okay, and we are on to General Action Item 6, which is the presentation of the budget for fiscal year 2009 and 2010. And I guess I'd like to preface it by thanking all the directors participating in the committees. We started this process back in April. We've had 3 finance committee meetings. We've had two emergency services meetings. We've had 2 water advisory committee meetings. So that's had 7 committee meetings on it. And this is our second budget meeting before the board. And then final adoption will be in July. So I want to thank all the committee members, the public who's attended, staff. Mr. Cooney?
Okay, since we met last, the budget has been reviewed 3 more times, once by the Emergency Service, once by the Water Committee, and once by the Finance Committee. There has been changes made in each one of those meetings. I can go through the changes very quickly. One is that the special tax amount was changed because there was a miscalculation in the CPI application. Based on the direction at the last meeting, money for parks fund is gone because it only generates interest revenue, and it was determined by the board as a policy, and it'll be part of the final budget presentation, that all interest will accrue back to the reserve account from which it comes. It won't be used for operations. There has been $15,000 added for an HCP, and that money is earmarked to come from money that is shown on this colored, nice colored sheet right here that shows where the $15,000 comes from, legal expenses, reimbursement to projects. There's several ways that this $15,000 could be handled. One is use the Water Quality Trust Fund, put $15,000 in that, and then take it out. I mean, you could do it either way, but basically it's been recommended that the $15,000 come from the money that's coming from the insurance settlement. The budgets are basically in balance. We're using a little bit of reserve money to balance those. I have met with staff concerning Bay Ridge and Vista. Those, as you know, are solid waste systems that the district maintains. After reviewing them and going to the sites, I'm getting a little concerned as to if they're going to be able to last the 3 to 4 years it's going to take to be replaced by the sewer system that's coming into Los Osos. So I'm going to be back to your board with a complete staff report on and with recommendations as what we need to do to those, because to me, the eighth hearing on the budget, we had two board meetings, actually the ninth, because we had three finance meetings on it, two emergency service, two water committee meetings, and two board meetings. So if there's any further direction or comments or suggestions that the board may have and want staff to address, we will be very happy to do that. And next agenda, which will be July 2nd, we will have a complete budget packet plus all the resolutions that go with that to adopt the budget for the next fiscal year. We have issued the public notice. Yes, we did. Yes.
Mr. Cooney, we show zero across the board on Fund 600, and on the roll-up sheet you have. And so the two questions are: the district adopted a policy of interest from funds going into reserves. So is the interest on the Fund 600 going back to all that going back to reserves?
Yes. They are all going back to reserves, and we have really no control over those funds in 600. Those are out of our control.
Okay, and are we doing a net transfer into Fund 600?
That was a board policy to transfer to transfer $25,000 as far as the payback of that. What is it? The U.S. bank note.
Okay, because that doesn't show up on that $32,000 from the detail doesn't show up on the transfer from admin doesn't show up on the final sheet.
I'm sorry. One more time, just to make sure it's there.
Right, the transfer out under Fund 600 is $32,960. So that transfer out is coming from admin.
Right,
because it doesn't show up on the summary sheet as an over budget.
Well, it's not over budget. Fund 600 is basically we have no control over Fund 600. I mean that's outside of the purview of the district. That money is tied up in legal obligations with bankruptcy court, the county, and there are some expenses in account 600, but we have accounted for those in other places, such as the fence. That's budgeted in the water fund, for an example, but.
We since we have.
That's coming from Fund 100.
Right.
Okay. All right, and I guess I didn't see the line on Fund 600 for the transfer, so we'll go ahead and take. Any other questions from directors before we proceed? Okay, Director Senate.
I guess I'm seeing what we're trying to do here, and effectively set up a payment for the replenishment of the bond reserves.
Right.
But I'm not seeing where that amount is accounted for here in the budget. Can you point that out to me, please?
Okay. There is interest that's generated from the money that's in the account now. That's part of it, and the other part comes being funded out of Fund 100.
But where do we see it being applied to the actual payment?
I have not designated a separate line. If you want that designated in the final budget, I can do that.
I think it'd be for clarity. Sure.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Director Senate. Just for clarification, I talked before with Mr. Cooney because the board, when the board changed this policy or adopted the policy for the interest on reserves coming in, I wanted to make sure that we were doing that as well in Fund 600, that we were consistent, or if we couldn't be consistent, that the board would be apprised of that. So, go ahead and take any other Director Senate.
I was wondering, for illustration purposes, can we show that the bond reserve account, you know, just like a window into it, and show the payment, the $25,000 payment into it? Even though it's not an account in our budget per se, but it is there, and we could just create a little window somehow.
Okay. Okay, I'll see what I can. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to do it and send it to you electronically, and you look at it and you say, well, no, I don't think that's right.
It seems like I see your difficulty in trying to fit it in. Very difficult, but maybe another fund.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Tacker, go ahead.
Julie Tacker again. As much as budget hearings are riveting, I'm getting out of here as soon as I can. There, again, on the line of riveting discussion, there has not been a public discussion at this level of how the legal expenses, the reimbursement from the insurance company is being reallocated, and I think your viewers at home that are following along want to know that money's going back to the places it came and that there's some money left over, and that your general manager has just suggested one thing that I want to touch on. But I would like to see a little more discussion about the reimbursement. I still think the Tri-W fence removal is under just a start. My personal opinion is that it should be funded by all departments that work within the habitat, and that the Water Quality Trust Fund is not the place that it should come from. The scope of work should be district-wide. Fire, water, Vista de Oro, Bay Ridge Estates, Cabrillo Estates, drainage, and the park and rec, the community garden, are all within the habitat. And furthermore, when you get to talking about an RFP and going out and actually doing this habitat conservation plan, Golden State, S&T Mutual, and the County Roads Department all work inside the same habitat within the district. And my personal opinion is that you need a cooperative agreement amongst those other purveyors and the county to share in the scope of work and share in the plan that is in place at that time. So those are my thoughts for tonight.
Ms. Tacker, you mentioned $5,000 for the Tri-W?
That's what's on here.
Okay.
It's only $5,000.
Okay, because we still had $15,500 the rent on Fund 600. So, okay. Thanks.
You got it? Okay. Good night.
Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I agree with Julie that I thought how the distribution of the reimbursement, or whatever we're calling it, of the legal fees was going to be allocated was actually going to be an agenda item. I thought we had heard that at least 6 months ago or whatever. I'm going to go back to something that's been bothering me, and I brought it up, and maybe I have the best example of my problem with it tonight. The allocation of salaries amongst the funds, I have a problem with the line item for solid waste. The payroll for solid waste is $62,234.27. That is the salary and benefits for Ann Goudard, her entire salary and benefits. I think it's inappropriate, unless you can tell me that she spends every minute of her time dealing with solid waste issues, I think it's inappropriate to budget all of her salary into this department. And, you know, on a little side note, when we had Sam working out of that fund, he was about, what, maybe a sixth of that? So Sam's looking like a real bargain when you look at this budget now. And on top of that, you've got a $41,000 administrative draw. So the portion of the salary that's shifted from administration over to here to make the administrative budget look...
Comments. I think that this came up in Emergency Services Committee on Tuesday, the legal expense reimbursement. My understanding from that, and I know it hasn't been agendized, but it has been discussed at the various committees, was that money would be determined to find out where it came from, and it would be reimbursed back to those various accounts. Is that what this represents on the budget sheet?
That is the only direction I've been given. And, you know, if there was direction before I got here, I don't know. But I was told to find out where the money came from and to reimburse the particular budget units that were where the money came from. That's my understanding of the board's direction.
Okay. Then I guess my second part of that question would be the balance that the remaining balance that's not shown here was funds that was going to be allocated back to the Water Quality Trust Fund. Is that correct?
There is no allocation for that money. The only recommendation that's being made is that there was identified a $15,000 expenditure for an HCP.
Okay.
And I have received no direction. I can make recommendations if you want to. Which we.
No, I was just wondering.
No, but there has been no direction from
okay,
the board
so,
on
so
the access.
So X dollars that spread across the sheet here is where it was identified as coming from.
Right.
And then the balance is unidentified
right.
funds. Okay, thank you. Then in that regard, I think at the Water Advisory Committee, yes, I do have a life besides going to meetings, I hope, but. It was discussed that the low-effect HCP needed to be funded for water operations, and really it's something that the district's been required to do for a number of years that we have not followed up on. We got a ballpark figure from a couple consultants, Tenera and Morrow Group, of approximately $15,000 for a ballpark figure. The thought process in the in the Water Advisory Committee was to go out with RFP and request the low-effect HCP with a budget of $15,000 and see if we were able to come in at that. from my knowledge of HCPs and my discussions with the consultants, to pick up the operations of the districts would be, all the operations that the district's responsible for would be a de minimis increase in that amount. So I don't see expanding it to include the fire, et cetera, would be that big of a deal. To expand it to include Sunset Terrace and to include the county and to include Golden State, we're talking about a whole different animal at that point. And I don't think, personally, as a director, I want to get into another ISJ situation where we're out there forever trying to resolve this with four different groups that have different interests. The primary reason I got involved in this is when I talked to Julie Vandeweer at Fish and Wildlife, she said one of the prerequisites to removal of the fence across the street is that we need to start making some progress towards getting our low-effect HCP. So that's the driving force. We can't get the fence until we start to respond to some deal with it at the time we get to it, because we're not going to be paying rent on it anymore, and that's 4 months' worth of rent, basically. So that, to me, is the best way to go on that. I would also suggest, and Maria is the chair of Water Advisory, but since I'm already speaking, let me just bring up the issue of the water management plan and $10,000 to go towards that was also discussed at that committee, that that money should be allocated out of either the insurance proceeds or the Water Quality Trust Fund. So there was discussions at that committee of allocating $25,000, $15,000 for the HCP and $10,000 for the water management plan.
I don't remember the $10,000.
Okay.
I remember that was starting.
Okay, but I think that's something that we need to, those two things in my mind need to be done. But this, having that fence out there, you know, just, we're spending $1,200 a month for nothing. I mean, half the fence is collapsed when you go look at it. So I think taking that $15,000, be it from Water Quality Trust or from the insurance proceeds, and moving forward on the low-effect ECP just for our operations is the thing we need to do in the, right now. So I think the way it's budgeted on this sheet is the way we should go forward.
And in addition, I think one of the reasons we were looking at the Water Quality Trust is because the budget is tight, as it should be. These are operations issues across the board, and the Water Quality Trust is the perfect fund to be funding these types of things. That's what it was established for, was anything to do with district. So that way it won't be coming from just the ratepayers of the water department. It's actually settlement money. So I think just for operations and future planning, that's why we look to that fund for the water master plan update and the low-effect HCP.
No, just for information, $10,000 will get us an outline. I mean, that's not going to be a water master plan.
I don't remember the $10,000 specifically being discussed, but we did have a discussion as far as discussing again, but wondering, and this is what we need to decide or give direction or do, is that something we want to look at for this year in this budget out of Water Quality Trust or not? I mean, we just have to make that decision.
Yeah, I think that there was an agreement, and the $15,000 we know is a good number, and that's a figure we discussed. The $10,000 only came up because that was pretty much the balance that was out of the insurance. So maybe that's an issue that needs to go back to Water Advisory Committee for discussions of the water management plan. But I really feel strongly that $15,000 needs to stay in there for the low-effect HCP. And I think with the acknowledgement, that, as Ms. Tacker said, it is a starting point, but we have to start. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something we cannot do.
And I want to add to that I think that as far as the water management plan, we really need to get started on that, because, I mean, that's basically where our entire utilities are going. And the $10,000 number came from my experience in getting one started before. I mean, basically you're going to get an outline is what, you know, where you're going to go.
Well, we're talking about the update because we've got the water master plan set, so we're talking about just getting it established and re-updated.
Okay.
So, and we just wanted to bring that to the attention of the board for discussion.
Thank you. Director Cena.
Shouldn't contribute to it because it doesn't have any facility.
Again, in tying on what Vice President Hilsky has said, on the allocation of reserve funds, they're going to be unidentified. And so I guess the question before the board is, do we want to identify that those do go to Water Quality Trust? And then the leftover monies. And then at the appropriate time, we would make the adjustment to have the funds transferred. And I wholeheartedly, I think the board knows, I wholeheartedly support that for a variety of reasons. Number one, I think some of those legal funds did come from the Water Quality Trust. So,
no, I think one of the things that, to me, with the rating that's potentially going to happen here of our funds, the more earmarking and the more money that we can put into a trust fund, I think the better off we are. So that's why I thought that we were going to earmark that remaining balance, the Water Quality Trust Fund, for an extra degree of protection. So I'm totally supportive of that.
Oh, I thought that meant trust the state fund.
You must have your 30 years in with the state, right?
Mitch, could you clarify, if you can recall, and I apologize if it's too on the spot, what the actual balance is of the Water Quality Trust account?
$109,000.
Okay. So, right, so.
Yeah, plus.
You got it. So if we transfer that in there and then earmark it and designate it for those two projects, is that possible? Can we do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's basically what you're doing. I mean, from an accounting standpoint, you're doing two T accounts instead of one. I mean, you're moving it one time and then you're moving it again out. You're in and out. I mean, you're doing that, but that's fine.
Well, to me, that gives me an extra feeling of protection. It may just be...
I want you to feel warm and fuzzy. Yeah. I really do.
Warm fuzzies.
You know, anything we can lay out there to prevent the state from raining the money, I think we need to try. Whether it's successful or not, we have to give it our best effort.
Well, again, I mean, I don't know what cash contingencies we have in our Fund 100 operating, but I believe, based on the previous transfers made out of Water Quality Trust, that it would be appropriate, as far as I'm concerned, it's appropriate to put up a $280,000 back into that Water Quality Trust Fund from Fund 100. And I would have no trouble supporting that. If we had operating cash, I think, and I don't know, staff may have their own opinion, but I think we're totally justified in putting up to $280,000 into the Water Quality Trust Fund. Because and I've submitted the report that the transfer in November 06 was made from Fund 100. And so, to Fund 100. And the time it was made, there's no way of paying that money back. So, I mean, staff may, I don't know if the board wants to go there, but I'd have no problem doing that. The other thing is, again, is the $25,000 to the replenishment of the bond reserve is, given the financial situation, would staff want to look at a lower amount? Because, again, we're doing this by taking funds from Fund 100. Is whether you put $25,000 into the bond replenishment or you put some portion of that into the Water Quality Trust Fund. And because it's coming from admin, where those funds from the Water Quality Trust Fund went, I think it's more appropriate to put in the Water Quality Trust Fund.
The $25,000 for the bond replenishment, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Aren't we obligated to...
That's a board policy. The revenue that... interest income from the remaining amount that's in the U.S. bank automatically goes to that. But
okay.
The board policy is to increase it by... The problem with the Water Quality Trust Fund is it's a trust fund, but we have no designated programs or anything to go with it. I mean, we've designated it as a trust fund, but we don't have anything... I don't see the hook there as far as what we have specifically designated to do with that money.
Well, right, I would hesitate to put money in it that we're not specifying as how we're going to utilize it. Because how you take it in and out of there is that different than how you would take it in and out of somewhere else. I mean,
I understand. I agree.
You've got to, unless you're spending it specifically on what you're spending it for, you know, being a trust. I mean, it's only for certain things. So I would be confused as to why we would put all of that there.
The answer would be A, I believe, because it should be there, and B, I would want to have it designated for, it would be for future water quality improvement capital projects, including water master plan. It could be used for the ISJ. We would designate it as such. So
I would go back, I mean, to what is written on here. I think that's, if that's what staff thinks is where the funds came from, I think that's where they need to go back. I think the $72,000 going back in the fire reserve, that's about as safe money as you can get from being raided. Because, I mean, we can argue all day that that's for health, safety, and welfare. I think we put it in back to where it came. The remaining balance goes in the water quality trust. I think that's what we need to do, quite frankly. Okay. And $15,000 I'd like to see earmarked from water quality trust for the low-effect HCP.
I mean, the whole district isn't. I mean, the Water Quality Trust is more specific to the water operations and drainage, whereas there was money that needs to be replenished to the entire services of the district, meaning the fire services as well. It doesn't totally seem equitable that the insurance monies would just go back to essentially fund the water and drainage and the infrastructure. It's not district. That's not a district-wide service.
That's not what I was proposing, though.
I thought you were saying the entire insurance funds would go back into Water Quality Trust.
No, just the undesignated funds.
That's all we were. Then we're all in agreement. Right. I thought you were talking. You said $280,000, and I was really confused.
You're mixing. The $280,000 that was transferred from the Water Quality Trust Fund went to Fund 100.
Right.
Okay. Well, so that's. And so what I'm saying is there's now operating cash in Fund 100. If it's above and beyond, then you designate that.
Basically I've got the consensus from the board of directors without... She's laughing at me. It's okay. She does it all day long. Without any dissent, that the disbursement of the funds that we got from the insurance reimbursement, legal expenses reimbursement, be distributed as shown on the sheet, with the exception that anything over the $222,288 will go to the Water Quality Trust Fund. And from the Water Quality Trust Fund, there will be $15,000 allocated for an HCP and $10,000 allocated for a water master plan update.
Brilliant.
And Mr. Cooney, on the water master plan update, that's just the beginning. What do you think is going to be the total cost for that?
You're looking probably at $50,000 to $75,000.
So why don't, since we have $110,000, we're going to add $27,000, why don't we allocate specifically, we target that, we may not, you know,
I wouldn't want an engineer to take a look at that number and say, well, gee, we got $75,000. I would like to hold him down to see what we can get for under $10,000 first.
No, I agree.
Because, Director Kelly said, we've got an outline now, and we need to update that outline. But, I mean, you know, a water master plan, I dealt with one starting from scratch, costs us $100,000+. So that's why I'm giving you a number of 50 to 60. But I just wouldn't want to give somebody the idea of having them look at our budget saying, geez, they got $75,000 in there. And, you know, anybody can come up with enough work to fill up $75,000.
I understand, but it's weighing that against, we talked about targeting money so that the state doesn't take it. So by, not that we would spend it, so that we could target for.
I don't think the state's going to care what we have targeted with our Water Quality Trust Fund. If it's not directly tied to a fire department reserve, some specific health and safety issue, water quality planning, the state needs to do water quality planning too. They'll take the money. So I don't think we need to earmark it. I agree with you that once you start putting a specific dollar amount on your consultant contract too soon, the consultant knows, I just I pad that budget to spend that amount of money.
It makes you want to reallocate water quality trust funds to, to the fire. Yeah, you know.
I just think more evenly dispersed is a little more prudent. So I don't want to put everything in one. I just get concerned when we start putting too much in one spot.
Let me piggyback on what Chuck said. And just to refresh everybody's memory, the Emergency Service Advisory Committee suggested or recommended that the entire insurance amount be put into the fire department reserve. So if we really want the lockbox approach, then we would go with their recommendation.
But one side of the house is indicated that it's 8% across the board. And I said, well, that doesn't count fire, does it? And they said, oh, absolutely. And the other side of the house wants to, instead of taking all of the 8%, they want to increase some of it by taxes. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But so I think the lockbox is not going to work this time. It appears. Yeah, the mattress.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a box for your office?
You'll have to get a low-effect HCP before you start burying the money, though, because of the impacts on the SNAP. But in all seriousness, I mean, you know, the school district last week approved a budget knowing that they're going to lose money. But all you can do is make your best guess and make your best effort at protecting what you can at the time that you make it. And, I'm prepared to move forward with the way staff recommended this at this point for action in July.
Excuse me. The recommendation was board discussion. We've had that. Public comment had that. Motion, second, and vote. Give appropriate direction to staff so that a final budget document can be prepared for adoption at the board's July 2nd, 2009 meeting. So I think I'll make that motion incorporating the allocation for.
I think council has something to say.
Okay.
Generally, when you give direction to staff, you don't do that by motion. But basically, you have a discussion. Staff takes down your recommendations, summarizes them back to you, and if you concur, you're done. But I don't want to interfere with your process if you want to do that by motion.
I was just going by the staff recommendation. So
I think, you know, the way we're going with the way it is, plus the $10,000 for water management and allocating the unexpended monies to water quality trust, then that's it, right? We've got a consensus.
Maybe. Okay, with that. We had public comment. It was a long time ago now. But. Okay, that will conclude the meeting for tonight. And we'll take director comments and any director closing comments? We will have the future meeting on July. Before we do that, we'll have the future meeting on July 2nd, Thursday, final adoption of the budget. Also, we had on the schedule, tentatively, a joint LOCAC meeting for July 30th. So I've contacted Vicki Millage to see if there would be subjects that we would go forth with doing that, so that's not definite yet. One of the items I was thinking was that if we have the final updated water study out, then that might be a good meeting to present that to the entire community. So I'm going to get that information with Mr. Cooney, work on that, and see if we will have that. And if so, then we'll probably go ahead. If not, there may not be a reason to have that joint meeting. So any other director comments on agenda or other?
Yes. Monday, Tuesday.
So be aware there's construction that's going to be happening, and as kids go to school, you'll have to take into consideration, you know, how they're going to walk along the shoulder with construction, and so just be on the alert and take things into account. Okay.
Any other? Vice President O'Hills.
Quickly. I was going to make the announcement that Chuck made, so. But just to confirm, it is 9 o'clock, and it is two full consecutive days, the 29th and 30th. just the Emergency Services Advisory Committee will not be meeting in July, like I mentioned, but we're going to start looking at strategic planning to try to start prioritizing the list of things that need to be done in the fire department, since now apparently we're going to get past item number one this year, which is the repaving of the concrete pad. And that the Emergency Services Advisory Committee will start on that process in September. So I would really encourage people that have an interest in emergency services being provided and what they think we need to work on for priorities to get involved and get your comments to the committee members or myself for the September meeting.
Thank you. Director Kelly.
I would like to just take a minute to personally thank all the committee members and the public that participates, but the committees have been working very diligently and very thoroughly. Some committees meeting twice a month over the last few months, and I would really like to extend a sincere appreciation for all their efforts and time and extra work that they've done. It's been invaluable, and to me personally on my committee, there's committee members that have really stepped up and taken some real proactive stance on creative problem solving, and I really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'd like to echo that. You know, the budget's a culmination, and it's almost impossible to get it perfect, but it's a good process. And the Finance Committee will meet on July 20th, and the main subject will be discuss look ahead to the next year's audit. So I don't know that we will have a board meeting on the 16th. I'm hoping that we don't have to have it. I know Mr. Cooney will not be here for that. He'll be on a well-deserved vacation. And also like to thank Mr. Vinares, who attended not only the Emergency Services Committee meeting and Rod Lewin, but also the Finance Committee meeting, these meetings for a long duration, and we really appreciate their efforts. And thank staff, for coming tonight. Thank staff as well, Ms. Faulkner, for doing the water conservation at Farmers Market this week, the Sammy Steelhead, and a couple of very talented young volunteers from the community.
President Starks, just a reminder that on the 27th, the 27th of June, the district's conducting a chipping day. So if you want to get involved in that, any member of the public, just call the district office.
I have something, too. I'd like to turn it over to Maria. I know that Waterfest is this weekend, and I know she wants to say something about it.
Wait, before then, one other comment on the chipping days, and are there still pickups available if they call the district office?
Yes, we only have two people so far that's even called in.
Really?
Yeah.